are new every morning. And most of all, great is His faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. Amen. God never lets us down. God never fails. God is always there. Amen. I said, we as creation was singing as the Psalms 20 came to my mind. It says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But as for us, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, how many really had that testimony? I trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. I'm not impressed with might nor power. For I realize my deliverance comes through His Spirit. So we thank God for that. We thank God tonight for my wife and life, health, and strength. We thank God for all of you. Amen. We thank God that you had a mind to come out to serve the Lord. And we just want to be ever so mindful to keep all these prayer requests that we've heard tonight. Keep them in the forefront of our mind, because people are really going through. Amen. And we need our help. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Amen. Actually, let's go to Joshua chapter 10. We're going to read verses 9 through 14. And we read this on Sunday. Amen. And we're going to continue the same train of thought. It's not allowing our circumstances, not allowing our trials, not allowing the mountains or the giants that are in our lives speak to us. But we want to speak to them. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. So we're going to go just now like a portion of Sunday again from Joshua chapter 10, verses 9 through 14. Amen. Just to let you know that we have power in our tongue, but we have to use it. Amen. Do we all have it? Amen. For those that do not have it, it's on the screen. Verse 9 reads, Joshua, therefore, came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord, amen. Even though they were going, who did it?
The Lord.
Pray same song. Who did it?
The Lord.
God did it. Amen. The Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way. They goeth up to Bethoron and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethoron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them in Azekah, and they died. And they were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord, in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, son,
stand
power in a word, son. Son,
stand
still upon Gibeon, and thou move in the valley of Adullam, and the son, power in our words, and the son.
The Lord
did what? Hearken to the voice.
move.
Amen. How was hailstone falling, but it didn't touch none of God's people? Right? God knows how, the Bible said, to deliver the godly. Amen. So God made it so that the hailstones hit the enemy, but missed his people. And the writer goes on to say, there was no daylight that before it or after that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. That's why I said we have to speak to our trials. We cannot let our trials speak to us. We can't allow our trials to back us in the corner. We can't allow our trials and what we're going through to make us doubt God. So I'm saying, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. Amen. You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. Now what the adversary likes to do is he likes to use our trials to intimidate us. He likes to use our trials, whatever it may be, to intimidate us. He uses our trials to intimidate us to make us see the situation is way too big that even God himself can't deliver us. But how many know that I will trust in the name of the Lord? Because God is our deliverer. Amen. So deal with the same train of thought, but the message is stop allowing the devil to intimidate you. The devil really don't have no power, but he influences us to make us think that he has greater power than God through his intimidations. Amen. And you know, like I said, as always, whenever I prepare, God gives me something to relate. Relate in my life that I can relate to the intimidations. Amen. And then we get back to the scripture. But back in 2002 or 2003 it was, I don't know which one of those years, one of those times when I was drafted and enslaved to coach a basketball team. So I kind of retired from that stuff. Amen. And we were I had to coach a basketball team. This basketball team was very challenging because they intimidated each other. Most times, teams play together. These guys are intimidating each other. Amen. And we went down to New York City, to Chelsea up here, and we were at Basketball City. I think there were over 90 Division I coaches there, and I had 13 or 14 NBA scouts there, scouting the players that were playing. Amen. And we had a team, my tallest player of our team at that time was Blake Walker. I don't know how to remember all these names in this game. Right. Blake Walker was 6'5". We had Rodney Emerson that was 6'7". And everybody else just went midget. Everybody else went midget on us. We had a day squad. They used to call them Mike Bub. Y'all remember Dave, Victor Fletcher. Amen. So we had a very, very challenging team. But we were there, and like I said, this was like, I don't know, it was like pandemonium. I mean, it was like 8 games going at the same time. The fans were standing next to the coaches. It was just crazy. But anyway, we were playing against a team. We were playing against Blair Academy. And Blair Academy had two All-Americans on their team, which I didn't know. And they had two All-Americans on their team. And they had still in the NBA today. Right? They had Lou Alden and Charlie Villanueva. We were playing against them. So we were playing at halftime, we were losing by 25 points. I guess you could say we were getting a thorough whipping. Like, we were losing by 25 points. But I ain't never heard of Charlie Villanueva, and I never heard of Lou Alden. So I said, you know what, since you guys want to play like, I use coach's terms, so you don't need to know that. But if you want to play like that, I said the whole starting team down. Like, you guys, Charlie Villanueva and Lou Alden were blocking every shot. We were shooting three-pointers. They were blocking. It's like, man, how are you guys blocking three-pointers? No, they were like almost 7 foot tall. They're inside the paint, blocking three-pointers. I don't know these guys. Like, they call them the Twin Towers. So I said, all right, you guys want to play like that, I'm going to sit you down. Right, so we sent the whole first team down. We were losing anyway, so we didn't lose anything. So I put all the bench in. You know, the bench took the opportunities. Now part of the problem with Ryan, we also had Ryan Williams. They had high flying Ryan. You know, y'all don't know, most of y'all don't know high flying Ryan. Now this is how you know. We had high flying Ryan. So these guys knew Charlie and Law Lane. I didn't know them. So they went out trying to do extra stuff. And those two was not having extra stuff to get by. So we sent them down and we put the bench in. And the bench started coming back slowly, little by little. So we started putting the starters in little by little. And what? We had Bobby Cribbins, Mike Krzyzewski, all those guys were all on the sideline. And he's like, shh. So I'm calling time. I was like, man, don't y'all see all these coaches here watching you? Not little by little, they were there watching us. They were there with Charlie and Lou Alden, and there was another guy that's in the NBA there that was playing there also. So halfway through the second half, we called up to them. Don't ask me how, but we called up to them some kind of way. So we put the starters in little by little, and we wound up beating them by 1 point. And that was the story. I'm just telling you about intimidation. So I didn't know who Blair Academy was, I didn't know who Charlie was. To me, they were just basketball players. So about 2 weeks later, some of the college coaches come to the school to recruit some of our kids. And the coach says to me, hey, do you know what you guys did? I said, yeah, they wouldn't won the game. That's what we did. Now, after we beat Blair, we beat everybody else by 30 points. And listen, this is intimidation, right? And then Blair beat everybody else by 30 points. But the intimidation was people were afraid of us because we beat Blair. So the college coaches said, do you realize what you guys did? I said, yeah, we just won a game. He said, no. We were all on ESPN and all the newspapers and we were everywhere. Because we beat the number one team in the country. The number one team in the country. They had two high school All-Americans, right? But you know what happened? I didn't know who they were, so I didn't have any intimidation. Right? So when we were losing by 25, I was like, you guys don't want to play, so sit down. But had I known who they were, would I have been intimidated to say we were supposed to lose? You know, so I'm thinking, so as the coach is telling me, he's like, coach, you just don't realize what you guys did. I say, no, I don't even know who those guys are. You know, that's what happens to us a lot of times in our trials. We look at our trials and understand that they're too big. But how about if we look at our trials and say, hey, you're just nothing. Our God is bigger. Our God is bigger. Because like I said, if I had known who Blair Academy were, they were the number one team in the United States in prep schools, I would have said, well, we're supposed to lose. But I did not know. So my expectation was to win. Amen. What I'm saying is this, we allow intimidation to make us have a defeatist attitude because we think we're supposed to lose. If God be for you, if God is fighting your battles, then how can we lose? So what does the devil do? He likes to use intimidation against the child of God. Now let's go to we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll go through this quickly. We all know the story of David and Goliath. Goliath came out to challenge the army of Israel. Goliath was a giant. And he came to confront the people or the children of Israel. And because of his intimidation, when he approached them, he was a giant as over 9 feet, 9 inches tall. So when he approached, everybody retreated in fear. And then he sounded loud, and he said this. He said, send me out a champion that I might fight with him. But because he was imposing and intimidating, everybody fled. But then there was one individual named David. David did not see the giant, but he saw his God. Amen. David didn't see the giant, but David saw who? His God. So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 41. David did not look at the size of the opponent. The only thing agency was God. But what did the opponent try to do? He tried to intimidate. Just like he does in our situations, the adversary tries to intimidate us. Verse 41 reads, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but let's go through this about the man and the shield and Goliath. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he was insulted. He's like, wait a minute. You should have a child to do a man's job? He disdained him. He was despised. And he's like, wait a minute. And what are you going to do? He didn't realize the power behind him was greater than the task before him. We ever seen our circumstances of trial like that? The trial is less than our God because my God is able. Amen? Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. What was he trying to do? Intimidate. Trying to minimize what he could do. Well, the problem with Goliath was he was seeing David, but he missed that big God that was behind him. And that's what we have to do. We have to realize God said, I will fight your battle. Just be still and know that I'm God. Don't allow the adversary, don't allow the trial, don't allow it to intimidate you. Amen. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear. David didn't have nothing but a slingshot and some rocks. But then he didn't need it because he had God. Why don't we seek God in the midst of our circumstances instead of seeing our circumstances without God? So David appeared to be unarmed. He appeared to have nothing. That's why I like about our God. He's a spirit and you can't see him, but he is there. Because the Bible says he feels all space. Hallelujah. And God is always watching us because he that keepeth his children by the sovereign God of sleep. So by the end of the ceremony, be plotting it tonight. God just got to take it. He said, don't worry about this, but I got this. But you got to trust him. Hallelujah. You got to trust. So David said, thou come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a shield. But I come to thee
in the name of the Lord.
I will trust in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why am I trusting in his name? Because the name of the Lord is a
strong
tower. Yes, Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. So when something messed up, back it up, let's use that name.
Yes.
It's a name that's higher than any name. It's a name that's above. Y'all can dig on that yourself later. Right. So he was a type of antichrist in opposition to God. Amen. So he's telling David, he said, I'm greater than your God. And David said, you don't have nothing against my God. Because I'm a trust. Anybody have a mind to trust?
Yes.
Through him or how long I trust? Through hard times and difficulties, I trust. Through financial challenges, I trust. Through relational challenges, I trust. When it seems like the bottom is falling, I will trust. Hallelujah, we used to sing a song, I will trust in the Lord till I die.
Yes.
I never sing that, but I wish I. If I had a voice, I'd sing that. But
that's
right. Yeah. Well, if y'all be there, y'all time to go on the run, I would be thinking. So he says, verse 47, and all this assembly
shall know.
Isn't that something we ever know some? I'm trying to figure it out. He said, this assembly is going to what? No. That the rock is. That lets you know, if you trust God, you don't have to figure out how God's going to do it, just trust Him. Right? And God will find the spot. So this is 2 Kings chapter 18. This is the time when Hezekiah, we all know Hezekiah was a great king.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the scripture says, well, let's just read verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 18. I'll go through this quickly. And we say, we're not going to be what? Intimidated. Whatever's been speaking to you, shut it down. Whatever's been trying to influence you to doubt God, tell you, you didn't make me doubt Him. Because I know too much about Him. I've seen God do too many things for me to start doubting Him now. Verse 3 said, speaking of Hezekiah, He did that which was. He didn't worry about individual. That's, now you want God's blessings, God's favor. Do what's right first in the sight of who? Don't allow someone to intimidate you into doing the wrong thing.
Amen.
Just do what's right in the sight of who? God. Amen. According to all that David, his father, did. He, verse 4 said he what?
Trusted.
Verse 5 said he what?
Trusted
the Lord. That's all. If you trust in God, you ain't got to worry about nothing else. God can do the rest. Even when you don't understand, trust Him. Amen. Because at this time, when the king of Assyria is coming against Judah, he'd already annihilated and assimilated Israel and Samaria. So he'd already destroyed everything else. So he figured, listen, I'm on the roll now, so I'm taking out anything that's in my way. Amen. He trusted the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was not like him among there was another king like him until Jesus came on the scene. Nor that were before him, for he claimed me nothing, not a trial, not a situation, nothing to separate him from God.
Amen.
Remember when Isaiah the prophet came to set your house on the Lord, you're going to die? Right? The Bible said he turned his head to the wall and began to speak to God. He said, now remember, my Lord, how I have walked before thee. Remember how I've done what's right before thee. He said, I walked before thee with a perfect heart. Amen. How I've done that which is right in your eyes. When Hezekiah reminded God how faithful he's been, God said, Isaiah, go tell my aunt 15 years to his life. Right? Because he had a testimony for what he has done with God, and he had not changed. Amen. So he goes on to say, for he prayed to the Lord and departed not from, don't allow anything to intimidate you or make you stop following God. You know, the devil will use relationship, he'll lose people, he'll use God. Don't allow anything to separate you from the love of God. Don't allow anybody. You know, a lot of times the devil will use peers and friends and people to put pressure on you. Do what's right in the what? Sight of the Lord. Verse 7 said, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went. Amen. Now let's jump down to verse 17. So the Lord was with him, and let him order to that said, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, because up to that time the Assyrians ruled everything. But Hezekiah trusted God, and because he trusted in God, he could not serve two masters. Right? So if he trusted in God, he could not serve the Assyrians. So the Assyrians weren't too happy about this. So he did what? He rebelled. He said, I refuse to be intimidated by you, because I trust in the Lord. Verse 17 said, and the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rapsar, said Rapsakar. I'm from Lachish to King Hezekiah with aid. That's why the devil likes to intimidate you. Think, they that are with you are more than they that are against you. Right? They that are against you are more than they that's with you. If God be for you, you got the majority. Right? So don't allow the number to influence you. Trust in God. Great host against Jerusalem, and they went up and came to Jerusalem. Verse 18, and when they had come to the king, they came out to them, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shaphan the scribe, and Joel the son of Asaph the recorder, and Rapsakar said unto him, Speak ye now to Hezekiah. Thus says the
great king.
King number one king is great. They have one great king. So they already insulted God. Alright? The great king and the king of Assyria. What confidence is this when thou trying to intimidate them? You don't see what we got behind us, and you're trusting in what? In a God that you can't even see? Amen. Thou said, but they are with vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now, O whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Who are we trusting in? God. Amen. Now, behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even Egypt. He's insulting them even more. Amen. Verse 22 said, but if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away? Hezekiah took away the idols. He can take away from God. Amen. Verse 23, just for the sake of time, y'all can read it between. Now therefore I pray thee, give pledge to my Lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able to be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the faith of one captain of the least of my master's servant and put thy trust in Egypt for chariots and horses? He still isn't like, listen, you can't trust. Nobody can help you. So you need to surrender. How many times have the devil said, you have to win it? You need to surrender.
Yes.
Trust in
the Lord.
No matter what reports you get, trust in who?
The Lord.
Trust in the Lord. Verse 25 says, and now I come up without the Lord against his face to destroy him. Now he's going to insult God. The enemy, the Assyrian, if you one part God talks about Assyria, talking about him being like Lucifer or being like the devil. Alright. So he said, wait a minute. The devil is saying God sent me to destroy you, trying to do what? Intimidate them. Amen. He said, the Lord says, we go up against this land and destroy. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, unto Rabshakeh the king, speak, I pray thee, to thy servant in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. But he said unto them, have my master sent me to thy master to thee to speak these words? Have he not sent me to the men that sit on? He's trying to do what? Intimidate them. How? With these words. Just like the devil likes to try to do to us. Verse 28 says, then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Trying to do what? Intimidate them. Amen. Don't let him deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hands. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah. What is he doing? Intimidating them. Amen. Now let's go to chapter 19. Don't forget to speak to all of this. So I'm gonna show you what God did at the end. Anybody know what God did at the end?
Amen.
Now he's doing all these wolf tickets and trying to say you can't trust in God and God can't deliver you out of my hand and I am the great king. Amen. So 17, chapter 19. Don't let the devil intimidate you.
All right.
Yeah. Don't let your trial intimidate you. Don't let the mountain intimidate you.
Yeah.
Jesus said he could speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea.
Yeah.
He said, if you don't doubt where you are, God will perform the words that you speak to the mountain. And nothing shall be impossible. What nothing means what?
Nothing.
What nothing shall be impossible means what?
Nothing.
You can do anything because God is with you if you don't doubt.
Amen.
If you go in faith. So 2 Kings 19:1 says that Hezekiah went his clothes, and then he said to Hezekiah in verse 3, and this is what he says in verse 4. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, sent to reproach. That's where he messed up at. He's reproaching who? Stand for God. You stand on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Don't cower down. Don't let anyone bank you in the corner. Don't be intimidated. Stay with the living God. Amen. And we'll reprove the words which the Lord thy God has heard. Well, who heard it?
The Lord thy God.
Wait, who heard it? God heard it. So he's trying to intimidate man, but God is hearing these blasphemous words against him. Amen. So verse 6 says, and the God said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the word which thou hast
heard.
God said, don't let that intimidate you. Don't be afraid of the word which I heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have
blasphemed.
God said, he blasphemed me. So God said, I'm about to get involved with this situation. Right? Don't be intimidated by the adversary. If you trust in the living God, God will fight your battles. Bernie, he's going to send a blast, and then there was a war in the room, so Rabshakeh went back to Assyria, and king, and so because Rabshakeh, verse 8, goes back, he assumed God has performed his word. But how many know when the devil wants to intimidate you, he will not come again?
Amen.
Right, so he will come back. Verse 9 says, and when he heard, say, Tarshish, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come to fight against him. He sent messengers
again
to the devil won't give up the first time. Right, he's going to keep trying to what? Who are you trusting in? Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. Psalms 20, I believe it's verse 7. He said, but that's for us. We would trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Verse 10 says, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God whom thou trustest. He's doing the same thing, what? All over again. Verse 11 says, behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria have done to all nations by destroying them utterly, and shall not be. The difference was they didn't have the living God.
Yes.
Hezekiah and Judah had the living God. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which thy my fathers have destroyed. Amen. So he's selling more wolf tickets. Verse 14 says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it. That's what you got to do when you're in trouble. Don't go anywhere, but give it to who? Give it to who? Give it to God. Come out to me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, shall I give you? Come boldly to the throne of grace when you're in a time of need. He said, you shall find mercy and grace to help. Mercy is forgiveness. Grace is God's unmerited favor. In a time of, if you're in a time of need, lay it out before God. One of the situations is, ain't no use of telling nobody else they can't fix your problems. Whatever it is, lay it out before God. So Hezekiah prayed, verse 15, before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, thou art God and thou art God alone. He said, listen, I'm going to bring my petition to the holy, wise God, our Savior. His name is straighten it out. Verse 16 says, the Lord bow down, and the old, he said, Lord, bow down thine ear and
hear.
Lord, I'm just asking you for help. Right? Bow down thine ear and hear. Open, O Lord, thine eyes and
see.
And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach. He said, listen what they're saying about you, God. Hallelujah. Of a truth, Lord, the king kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their land and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the works of men's hands was stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, Lord, Lord, I beseech thee, save thou us out of I won't be intimidated. I'm standing on the Lord. That all Yeah. And God said, I'm going to make it too.
Upright is not what people say. Upright
Refuse to allow anything to intimidate you. Don't allow anything to cause you to doubt God. Trust God. Believe God. Then you will see the exceeding greatness. It actually, go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. Listen, this one, God's word is so replete with promises for us. But we discount God as though God don't have any power. God has all power. Actually, go to verse 21. Okay, here we go. 19. And what is the what? Listen, when it comes to God, there's power, you can't even figure it out. What is the what? Exceeding greatness of His. You can't figure this out. Just trust God. See, greater power to who?
Us
for who? According to the working of His. God can't work if you doubt. God can only work if you believe. The mountain.